This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, company alive for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. What's happening, Tiki and Tierney? How are you today? CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, as we inch a little closer to the 2018 draft. By the way, Sam Darnold, we have booked Sam Darnold a week from today.
Good job, Samter. He's going, actually, to the NBA draft, correct?
I don't know if he's going to the NBA draft.
I mean,
he might be going to the NFL draft,
though.
I'm
thinking of the NBA, man. I had talked to Chad Dukes down at our D.C. affiliate down in D.C. earlier today.
Oh, Chad Dukes? Well, I like Dukes.
Dukes is awesome. Mm-hmm. Dukes against the world, and he's asked me about football, and I'm like, dude, I'm in basketball, bro. It's hard for me to make that switch.
Uh-huh.
But I figured it out because I know basketball. I mean, I know football well enough. Anyways, before we start, BT.
Yes.
Desi Linden, Ack mentioned during the update, first American woman in 33 years to win the Boston Marathon.
Hey,
congratulations. Desi Linden.
Not to be cynical, by the way, she needed a little assistance from Mother Nature to get
good.
The job
you
done.
Know,
win's a win, right?
The Kenyans and the Ethiopians, they train in these dry conditions. She's from Michigan, man.
Bring the rain.
Bring the rain. Bring the snow. We got it. 35 degrees. That's perfect weather for me. And my girl, Tatiana McFadden, who I always talk about.
Yep.
She won the wheelchair race as well. So congratulations,
good
American
job.
Women.
Pointing that out. How'd the men do?
Don't know.
Not too well? Not too well. Well, I'll tell you, didn't do too well. It was LeBron. You know, listen, I told you, I kept saying, this is going to be a good. No,
right.
Pacers aren't that good. Tink, I'm telling you, this thing's going at least six. No, Pacers aren't that good. Let me just tell you right now, LeBron James and the Cavaliers have a real problem. They have a real problem in front of them just because we don't talk about the Pacers that much. Just because the boys on the NBA on TNT, Shaq and Kenny and everybody, the rest of the crew, Charles, they don't, you know, get throw them all sorts of shine and SportsCenter and these guys, doesn't mean they're not dangerous and doesn't mean that they don't believe that they're going to win this series.
Yeah, here's the reality of it, BT. You don't believe in the Pacers if you didn't look at their record, which is not only two games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, but if you haven't watched the Pacers, the reason you don't know them because they played twice on national television this year, twice. And I think it was against the Oklahoma City Thunder because of the Paul George thing. It's what made it a national. I just haven't seen them. And so while you can look at the statistics and look at their record, you don't realize how good Victor Oladipo is until you actually see the dude play.
He's as fast as John Wall.
No doubt, BT. And he knocks down shots in the clutch. And that's something that he was doing that the Cleveland Cavaliers, in particular LeBron, wasn't doing. LeBron only took like four shots or so in the fourth quarter, whereas Victor Oladipo and the Cavs and the Indiana Pacers exercised their will and ran out after it got a little bit tight in the third. Man, this Indiana Pacers team is going to give them problems because, and this is a Ty Lue issue as well, the Cavs starting five is flawed right now because of Jeff Green. And I know people have talked about this, and if you watch this game at all, he was 0 for 6 or 7, whatever
he was.
0 for 7. And it became an issue because he's there for spacing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the game, BT, they weren't even checking him. They were, go ahead, take the shot. You're not going to make it. And that collapses the lanes that LeBron likes to get into or any other passing lanes that anybody else wants to get into because they didn't respect Jeff Green. And so until Ty Lue decides to restart J.R. Smith, this Cavs team's going to be in trouble.
Listen, and we'll play the cut in a second here. LeBron saying post-game, you know, hey, I'm the last one to worry about being down. You know, I was down 3-1 of the finals. All valid points for sure, and I don't think LeBron's sweating this, but he should because the Pacers, you can make the case, the Pacers didn't even play particularly well.
No.
It's not like they overachieved statistically where you're like, that's probably going to represent an anomaly over the course of a seven-game series. So, yeah, they'll kind of get back to their mean.
Yeah.
The Pacers shot 45%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were sub 40% from downtown, 45% overall.
Yep.
They were 39% from three, which obviously is good in the end, but it's not like they shot 51% and they just dramatically, you know, they just shot the lights out. And they were 60% from the free throw line. And oh, yeah, by the way, they were out-rebounded, only by two, but they were out-rebounded. And here's my problem with LeBron James. I got to get back to this for a second. No shots in the first half, in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
None. Now, we've seen him do this before, and in the past, it was to get the ancillary parts involved.
Yep.
The difference this year is that the ancillary parts have no experience.
And they're not that good.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say that. I'm still a little intrigued by the players that they brought in. A little bit.
I don't love George Hill.
Well, George Hill has a back issue.
He's got a back issue, exactly.
That's not good.
That's what I mean. In the moment, I don't like George Hill. Jeff Green has been nothing for a while now. Kevin Love, I like. He does his part on the defensive side of the game. He cleans the glass. What do you have, 18, 17 rebounds or so? But still, I mean, the reason you get him involved early is so that he finds his stroke. But it doesn't work. This was the type of game that the Cavaliers and LeBron James had to take over from the beginning and put a team like Indiana who believes, like you said this at the beginning, they believe that they can beat this Cleveland Cavaliers team. Mm. LeBron needed to just tell them right away, you can't beat us, right? I'm better than you guys, and we are better than you. And he was passive, and it came back to haunt him because when they needed to turn it on, which they did in the third quarter, it still came up short. They got within seven and then it ran right back out to 18 real quick as soon as he sat down.
And up until the point where the Cavaliers made a little run, they were thwarted at every single turn.
Yeah.
The crowd would get into it. You know, lead would get down to 9, bang, triple up to 12. You know, all right, here they are. They shave it to 11, boom, triple up to 14, or a little 5-0 run back to 15 or 16. You know, again, if LeBron, and it's worked incredibly well, all the finals appearances, never loses in the first round, I understand that is part of his of his playoff approach in the first round to kind of, you know, disperse a little confidence here. And by not shooting and getting other people layups and getting them involved, that residually that impacts the rest of the series and emboldens those players that need the confidence in rounds two and round. You kind of build some equity early against the team that you know can't beat you.
Yep.
But when you're down 15-4 and when you're down 20-6, it's time for plan B. Let me ask you a question.
I agree.
I don't care who records this. There is no doubt that the Pacers are winning at least one in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah, this won't be gentlemanly swept.
Do you think that are you still convinced the Cavaliers win this series?
No, because of how bad all the ancillary pieces for the Cavs looked. They looked bad. J.R. Smith notwithstanding, he was great. When he did what he needed to do. Came in, knocked down three-pointers. He played really good defense as well. But he's...
Van Gundy pointed that. He played with integrity, too, which you don't always get with J.R. Smith.
You're right, but there's, to your point earlier about these guys being young and not having playoff experience, J.R. Smith has it, and he's had it with LeBron. And so, more than anything, there's an expectation that comes at this point of the season when you're playing with LeBron for the Cavaliers. J.R. Smith knows it. Some of these other guys, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows. The defense was horrendous at some points. I mean, they were lucky that Indiana wasn't hot shooting from the field. Otherwise, it's going to be a 25 and 30 point blowout, right? And so those lapses, which Ty Lue told us he would turn on, we're going to flip the switch when the postseason comes. It doesn't work that way.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't. You are what you repeatedly do. I said that when he said it. And they don't repeatedly play good defense. So you knew that was going to happen. They're going to have to get Herculean efforts from guys like J.R. Smith who gave it, guys like Kevin Love who at times gave it, and hope that LeBron gets more aggressive again.
You scored 80 points at home.
Yeah.
In the first game of the playoffs here. You have a problem. You know, not that it can't be solved here, not that it can't be patched together, but the likelihood, you know, and again, I knew the Pacers would play well in this series. I didn't have the guts to say that they would win the series. And I don't know if I'm going to fully say that now.
I got to see one more.
But this thing's going at least six or seven.
Of course.
And I mean, we thought it was going to go six anyway before they even won the first game. But now the advantage that LeBron's had for so long, roll in, First series, get out the broom, sweep.
Yep.
You know, get in the hyperbolic. What's that chamber called? The hyperbaric.
Yeah, the hyperbaric.
Yeah. You know, get in all those advanced, recovery apparatus. Get in there and get ready for when things actually get real and they get serious. Well, you know, it's real and it's serious, you know, 48 minutes into the playoffs here. Something LeBron has not had to deal with in a long time.
Yeah, you're right.
That's problematic.
Look, we mentioned this all season long, BT, and I wonder. And I doubt it's an issue right now, but it's worth asking the question. The Cavaliers, as you mentioned, LeBron didn't get going early. He didn't take shots in the first period. They scored 14 points. At the end of the game, in the fourth period, they scored 15 points. Now, part of that was concession in the last few minutes of the game. But for a lot of it, I mean, they were working to try to score. And LeBron was working to get those baskets. I mean, if you watch even just the highlights, nothing's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's beating guys off the dribble and easy dunks or
even the dunk that he had. Remember the one that almost kind of ricocheted out? He looked like he was 40 on that play.
It was all work. It was work. Every play, every possession for LeBron felt like work. Now, he played 43 minutes last night, BT.
Yep.
Now, we said this all season long. He led the league in minutes played this year, 37.8 or so average. But during the last month or so of the season, I mean, he's playing 40 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Is it catching up? I mean,
I told you this 5 months ago.
You're not asking me, are you? It feels like it's caught up.
I told you this 5 months ago.
Man, it's just.
I said this is the problem with the way their season's going.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in the mix. And LeBron might be Superman. I pointed this out months ago. Residually, it will manifest itself now. Again, now to be fair, I didn't think first round.
Yeah.
But, the days of just pushing them through a couple of the series and, hey, we'll see you in June when you face the Warriors or the Rockets. Yeah. Those days are over. I mean, they've got a meat grinder on their hands. 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. We'll get the calls early. Everything you saw over the weekend, if anything changes your opinion of what you thought coming in. By the way, I'm going to get into this at 4 East. Greg Popovich needs to shut up. I am so tired of Greg Popovich's post-game nonsense. Don't miss this at 4 Eastern because Pop, I can't stand Popovich anymore the way he treats people. And I'm gonna lay him out. I mean, verbally, he's going to get laid out on this show. Enough is enough. What else really jumped out over the weekend?
Philadelphia 76ers was the easiest one that jumped out. So I watched his game with Berkowitz. Berkowitz is an enormous Philadelphia Phillies or
is he?
76ers fan. I have no idea.
Now or like no, going think, back to Barkley? And...
I think he's always been because of Barkley and growing up in South Jersey.
Gotcha.
Even though he's a Giants fan. So it's kind of odd.
I'm going to have to send Burke a little
he's
text.
He's actually going down there.
Make sure about
he's
this.
He's driving down today.
Is he really?
To go watch the
Embiid's
game.
Not playing, by the way.
I know. But it didn't matter.
No, it didn't.
And so that's my point. Philadelphia, without Joel Embiid, and interestingly, they've kind of been playing a little bit better without Joel Embiid.
They haven't lost 17 straight games.
Exactly. And, we're watching this game, and the kids are getting, exhausted, tired. It's time. We got to go. I don't want to leave, but we got to go, right? It's middle of the
third. Start getting the eyeballs from the wife. It's time to go.
Oh, dude,
the kid's screaming.
It's like 10:15, and Tegan's going crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, we got to go home. This baby should have been in bed an hour and a half ago. And so we're leaving, and it's a relatively tight game. I mean, 6 points. 5 or 6 points. I get home. It's run up to 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the hell? I call Ron. I'm like, what did I miss? I was in the car for a mile and a half. What did I miss? He said, these guys figured out their confidence down the stretch. And they and either the Heat got tired, which is probably part of the case. The Heat are not built to be a good postseason team this year. There really is no superstar on the Miami Heat other than Goran Dragic. But, I mean, he can only do so much. And so they got worn down, and Philadelphia just kept with the energy.
Oh.
And after, drive after drive after drive after kick, three-pointer after three-pointer. This Philadelphia team, we talk about them being dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They were damn impressive last night.
They're going to lose tonight.
Maybe, but 130 points, BT?
On a Spoelstra team.
I know.
No, I know. I say they're going to lose, and I say that kind of kiddingly. Although I do think Miami's going to cover. It's a good recipe for Miami to come back and cover.
It was an impressive win for a team that has not been in the postseason for a long time and have a bunch of young kids.
No doubt.
Bunch of young kids.
I just wonder. I should say I worry. to they take their foot off the gas a little bit. Yeah. That's kind of natural. They haven't been through the rigors of a playoff.
Reddick's not going to do that.
Well, no, right? But that's one guy. I mean, everybody else is relatively new.
I don't think Ben Simmons is that guy either.
I don't think he is either.
I think he's a killer guy, man. I really do.
That's true.
If he had a 15, if he had an 18 to 24 foot jumper, he'd be ridiculous.
But he will at some point. He will. Just have to decide which hand he wants to shoot it with. That's a little bit of an issue.
Good point.
All right, LeBron lovers, defend your guy. LeBron detractors, revel. Where do you sit? That was an interesting game, an interesting exhibit as to if you've been saying for a long time that the Cavaliers are done and LeBron's days of going to the finals are over, that is a strong amount of evidence to support your claim, what we saw yesterday in Cleveland. Wow. 1-855 doesn't mean you're right, but certainly an interesting start. 1-855-212-4227. We'll get to Pop a little bit later as well. Inbounds, out of bounds, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, hopefully you guys had a good weekend. Tiki and Tierney back in the trenches here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Get some calls in a bit, 1-855-212-4227. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Tiki's at Tiki Barber. I am at Brandon Tierney. Obviously, a great affiliate. You guys are holding it down as you have been for a long time. SiriusXM 206, part of the program now as well. So we're rocking. Got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. How many rainouts, by the way, as baseball fans?
Yeah,
I mean, this weekend was brutal.
It's been a lot. So far, this whole season has been a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a... some disappointment because of the weather. You know, that one Chicago White Sox game was 1,000 people, or maybe 1,000 people in the stadium.
Oh, the White Sox, I think it was like 964.
Yeah,
is crazy.
Oh, that's crazy. Empty ballparks for empty games.
Yeah.
The weather has just been atrocious up here, especially in the Northeast. But it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
The sun came out today after a downpour. I mean, I was actually terrified going to drop my kids off at school today
because
everybody was hydroplaning.
Yeah.
Right?
It was bad.
You drive through those big puddles of water and people think they're going to be fine and they're not. And so I went really slow today.
There you go. As we said to start the show, Sam Darnold is going to join us on Monday. Looking forward to that. So 1 week from today and then just a few days after that, he's either going to hear his name first, second, or third. He's not getting past my Jets. If he's there at three, my Jets are taking him. But I think he's going to be gone.
I think you're probably right.
But we shall see. We'll get these calls in a moment here. I wanted to add this too about the whole, and it's not just the Cavaliers and the Pacers. Mm-hmm. Warriors obviously came out and flipped the switch.
They can flip the switch.
Yeah, but there was a little dispute. Can they without Steph Curry? We thought the Spurs would win the series,
I'm not saying
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yes, I knew that before. That is, I just saw that.
I got you. Raptors win a game one.
Yeah.
That's obviously noteworthy. That was a really good game.
Look,
8 points.
Kyle Lowry was off for the entire game until he wasn't.
Whoa. Yeah, I know. The Celtics-Bucks finish was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 0.5 seconds. And that was as... I rewound it. If you go one more frame... It's absolutely not off in time.
Fingers on the ball.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. The Bucks really let one get away.
Agreed.
I mean, I still think they're going to win a couple in Milwaukee. I think that's got a little length. I did say the Celtics in six. I guess I'll stand by that. Here we go. And the other story is Karl Anthony Towns. Can he get some shots?
I know.
Can he get on the ball?
Nine shots.
40
he made.
Minutes.
Look, and one of them was
40 minutes.
And BT, one of them was like a late a dunk.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A putback dunk. Another one, it was a wide open 3-pointer that the Rockets just got lost on him. He had no shots in this game against the Rockets. And this was a series that I thought the Rockets would just run away with because James Harden is the MVP. He could score at will. As we saw, he scored at will, 44 points. He dropped on the Minnesota Timberwolves when everybody else for the Houston Rockets wasn't playing great at all.
But Capella was great, 24-12.
Capella was great, but BT, this team is known for knocking down three-pointers.
Yeah.
They took 37 and hit 10 of them.
Yeah, Chris Paul had a rough night.
Rough night, he did. Trevor Ariza didn't. He didn't get going. You're right. So there was a bunch of guys that aren't going to be non-scorers for the entirety of this series. So I still think the Rockets figure out, but... This goes to show you, when you have the MVP, one of the best players in the game, you can overcome rough nights by everybody else.
Well, this is one of the series that you and I disagreed on, not in terms of the end result. We both picked the Rockets, of course. I picked the Rockets in six, But if I'm you, I'm sitting there saying, the Rockets didn't even play well.
I agree. I'm emboldened.
Exactly.
I'm like, dude, of course they're going to win this series, maybe sweep it, maybe in five.
All right. Let's get some calls here. Let's start Dallas, who is in Richmond, Virginia. Talk a little hoops, playoffs, get you involved. Dallas, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
What's going on with you, man? I'm doing great.
Okay.
Excellent, man. What you got for us?
Well, two things on the Cavs-Pacers series. One major thing, which I've been telling everybody before this even started, LeBron has never won if he doesn't have a clutch player on his team. Mm. Another guy that can get shots and just, you know, hit shots in the waning moment.
Dallas, let me ask you a question. I'll certainly let you finish.
That's a good point.
Who has in the annals of NBA lore? Who has?
Who has?
Yeah. Who has?
Okay.
It's a short list.
I would say this. This is what I'll say.
God, I was going to say Jordan, but no.
MJ has, because Pippen didn't hit the clutch shot.
No, you're right. Steve Kerr did.
He did the little things. I'm not going to take any credit away from him, but Michael would hit the clutch shots.
Yeah.
Same thing with Larry Bird. He would hit the clutch shots. Other guys would play well. But with LeBron, what I notice is because he's not a flat-out scorer. So what happens is when he has a team like he has now, when you just got a whole bunch of role players, in the playoffs with that pressure, they're not hitting the same shot.
Yeah.
So now he has to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got to come out and score like 15 in the first quarter.
I agree.
Like you said earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, Dallas, you're absolutely
appreciate
right.
You, buddy.
Look, this showed itself late in the game. This was after they had stopped guarding Jeff Green. I mean, literally, they just said, whatever, you're not going to make a shot.
It's a rough night for Jeff.
Until you make one, we're not guarding you.
Yeah.
LeBron drives down the lane, goes in, maybe it was Kevin, whoever it was, kicks it out. It was perfectly designed, right? Mm-hmm. Defense collapsed on you, kick it to the wide open guy over on the wing, stood there for a second, clank.
He'll hit some of those, though.
But not enough to get
them to June.
He better. So just like we were talking about with the Rockets can afford their role players not making shots because James Harden is a volume scorer. Mm-hmm. If he needs to, he will be a volume scorer. He'll take every step back three-pointer he can imagine. LeBron's not
Let me challenge you on that. LeBron's not what?
He's not
a volume scorer?
He's not a volume scorer.
At least he is.
It's not his instinct to be a volume scorer.
But now, isn't your resume your instinct over 15 years?
I
got to laugh when people say LeBron's not a volume scorer.
But BT,
he might challenge Kareem.
Then why didn't he do it? Why did he not do it?
Well, that's
in
a different conversation. There's
Pacers.
A willingness and then there's an inability.
No,
I would say that there was a lack of the ability to do it is there.
It's a recognition.
He elected not to.
It's a recognition of what the hell is going on. And in the first quarter, when you're down 33-14, you better recognize that something's amiss.
We're coming to the same point on that, for sure.
I agree. He just didn't become that guy. I expected him to, but he didn't.
But he has in the past, where he's come out, he's deferred, get guys involved. All right, we're down 13-5. All right, this guy's clanking shots. This guy's not getting all. You know what? Let me get a couple of buckets. Let me get to the free throw line while they ease their way into the game.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, again, I'm not pushing the Cavaliers past. I don't know if they're going to win the series, but I have seen him do this, as have you. Over and over and over.
Yeah, but
the difference is he lost.
We
on
haven't
Sunday.
Seen him lose a first round matchup in 21 tries, 22nd try.
And the team that beat him, you could give 10 guesses. It's the last team you'd think. The Knicks.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
You'd be like, you'd say, well, the Knicks were the team?
Nah, I wouldn't have guessed
that.
You actually had to tell me in the break because I had no idea. Who's the last one they lost to?
CBS Sports Radio's toll free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. More calls coming up. More about the NBA playoffs, inbounds, out of bounds, 4 Eastern. Enough is enough. Popovich, the act is old. I'll get into that coming up. Here's Axe Update right now. Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, inbounds, out of bounds coming up here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Get some more of these calls as well. First up, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything that you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Twitter handle at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros. You know the drill by now. At the end of the show, Tiki and I will pick the best one and we will answer it for you. So the more creative, the more thought-provoking it is, better chance we'll get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
Make them good. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day. We'll get some more of these calls, Teak, before we get to Inbounds Out of Bounds.
We got some time.
Let's do it, man. Let's go up to Canada. Mark is on Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. That's up in Ontario. Mark, what's happening? How are you today?
Gentlemen, how are you?
We are good. How about you?
Not too bad.
Good.
So my call, like, the take's really simple. I can't understand how guys, when you get to be an ultra sports athlete like Tiger was with golf and like LeBron is, the guy loses game one and we go right to bagging on him about this is the end of the,
I don't think we're doing that.
The miles this guy's got on his frame, he's in his 15th year. He put numbers up that you've never seen out of a 33-year-old NBA player before.
It's true.
Considering seven finals in a row, and he just doesn't have the
Mark, hang on a sec. Mark, let me stop you for a sec, because this is an important part of the equation. Number one, you raise a pretty good point. But I think the reason why some people take pleasure, not that I'm going to separate myself from Tiki. Yeah. LeBron rubs me the wrong way on occasion. And I think a lot, I don't think you feel that way, do you?
No.
Okay. A lot of my feeling about that is derived from his social media presence. He went from, at first he was a drama queen, all right, a little annoying. Follow him on Instagram. Every day he puts an emoji crown, crowning himself as the king. When you do that, and you score 80 points at home and you lose, you're going to get criticized a little bit. That's the way it is.
I hear you. That's a fair assessment. I think going the other way, though, What if Golden State loses this year?
Yeah.
What if they go down in the opening round, Steph's out? I don't know if you're going to get the same sort of, KD, I mean, what happened here? Is he really, I think Kevin Durant's probably the best player in the world at the moment.
Yeah,
I think LeBron is still, but yeah. KD doesn't position himself that way.
Mark.
Mark, your call is good, and you're right on. And look, and just for just to take a step back, I don't think we were killing LeBron. I think we're killing the Cavs.
Well, I got on his approach to start the game.
Oh, yeah, but still.
For sure.
But still, at the end of the day, LeBron's going to he had a triple-double. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was, 24, 12, and 10, right? He kind of did what he always does. Now, could he have scored 20 more points and helped them win? Of course. But I don't know if it would have mattered because the surrounding pieces weren't clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think no matter what LeBron did, it was going to result in a different outcome here. The Pacers were well prepared. They were active as hell on defense, and they were knocking down shots when it mattered, mm-hmm. especially late in the third and fourth quarter. And so as much as we're talking about LeBron, I think we're more criticizing the Cavaliers in their approach to this series.
Well, listen, we'll never know the answer to this, but instead of being down, 15-4 and 20-6,
yeah.
as we referenced, and coming out and trying to set players up, role players generally respond to the energy of the crowd
at home.
No doubt. That's why there's a huge disparity in home road mm-hmm. splits.
Yep.
I mean, historically, go and do the research. It's there. It supports it. And when you're down 20-6, and there's this tangible, palpable angst that permeates the arena, which is going to happen when you're down 20-6, the role players are going to get a little tighter.
Mm-hmm.
So if LeBron, again, we don't know the outcome. Maybe it wouldn't have been different, but if LeBron would have taken a few shots early, maybe drop down a dunk, get an aggressive and one, the crowd starts to pop a little bit. Now the role players exhale, mm-hmm. and they're more within the flow of the game rather than trying to play catch up and take on a role they're probably not equipped to take on.
You're right.
That's my only critique.
Yeah, I agree.
With the start of the game.
The only, because other than J.R. Smith, you look at their bench. It's Larry Nance Jr. It's Jordan Clarkson. It's Seti, who didn't even play really until the end of the game.
Tristan Thompson played 2 minutes.
I know.
Tristan Thompson played 2 minutes.
I know.
That's got to change.
I agreed.
Okay, ready for some inbounds, out-of-bounds,
Steve? Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go, buddy. So the Browns officially re-signed troubled wideout Josh Gordon to his exclusive rights tender. Mm-hmm. This after 335 yards in just 5 games a year ago. Now, the team traded for former Dolphin star Jarvis Landry. Yep. We know about that. And will likely draft a quarterback, although they could draft two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. I wonder where you heard that 2 months ago. Oh, this show. And maybe also either get a first or a second. Or maybe make some other moves. And there's a lot of things they could do. Inbounds, out of bounds. Gordon will have over 1,000 yards receiving this season.
I love Josh Gordon as a wide receiver. If he's healthy and plays the whole season, he's definitely going over 1,000 yards. Now, the question will be who's throwing it to him, and that could make a difference. Tyrod Taylor is currently their quarterback. He just received his roster bonus of $6 million, which was due today, May 16th. April 16th. And so there is a chance that they could cut him, but I don't think it would be prudent for them to do so after the draft. We'll see what happens there. But whoever's throwing him the ball is going to determine. If it's one of these young kids, I'm not so sure. If it's Tyrod Taylor, I feel more confident that he'll definitely get 1,000 yards.
Okay, it's funny. If it's not Tyrod Taylor, you don't know how the rookie's going to play.
I agree.
But even if it is Tyrod Taylor, although my answer is inbounds, I don't know that I say with great certainty that Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to spread the rock around to Landry and Gordon.
True, but Landry's not a deep threat.
No, but he catches 100 balls every year, and 100 balls is only so many possessions.
He does, but 1,000 yards if you catch the right balls, which Tyrod Taylor actually throws well.
That's a good point.
Sammy Watkins, he just didn't have it up in Buffalo the last couple of years. It's so much will depend on this draft.
Yeah.
It really will.
I'm still going to say inbounds, though.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing about Josh Gordon, that what he'll give you that maybe almost 90% of the receivers don't, he'll give you, 190-yard game. He might give you 212. When he pops, he's just going to
agree.
So he'll get a couple of big chunk games. And just as a point of reference, there were 15 players who had over 1,000 yards a year ago. Josh Gordon's head is right, and it looks like it is, and his body's right, and it looks like it is. He's going to be one of the 15.
Yeah.
Superstar.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teak, the Rockets took a one-game-to-zip lead over the T-Wolves yesterday with a 104-101 win. It was a good game, tight finish, 3 points. Now, T-Wolves All-Star Karl Anthony Towns played 40 minutes, but as we chronicled to start the show, we referenced it early, took only 9 shots and finished with 8 points. Minnesota head coach Tom Thibodeau was asked what he needs to do to play better.
The switching and the double team. And he's got to be more active.
When you say Karl has to be more active, how does he do that?
Well, you run the floor, can kick the ball out, repost, keep moving around, search it out. You got to sprint around, and you learn. You know, when teams are double teaming you, that's what you have to do. You have to make the right play.
Okay, inbounds. Okay, interesting take there. Inbounds, out of bounds. The T-Wolves need to look to get Anthony a little more involved here. Tate, what do you got?
This is definitely inbounds. I mean, I know what. What Tibbs is saying here, that he's got to be smart. He can't just expect the game to happen. He's got to make the game happen. But still, sometimes you got to play inside out when your team is as close as they were, and knowing that the Rockets were playing as bad as they were, other than James Harden, of course. Just give it to him and let him pound it inside. Do it old school. Sometimes you have to force him to do the things that you want him to do.
Yep. This is a really easy one. I understand what Thibs is doing as well.
Yep.
And there's incentive. It's a teachable moment. It's a coaching method. I get that. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, we met him. We had him in here right a week before he was drafted. Young man wanted to be one and still aspires to be a doctor. I mean, his game is as in tune with his head. He is a winner, and he is perceptive, and he is smart. And the answer is inbounds here, because even if he's kind of floating in spurts, and I'm going to put a little bit of the onus on his doorstep as well, it's a two-man game here. I mean, the coach can say what he says, but Karl Anthony Towns does need to be a little more assertive. But even over the course of 40 minutes, which he played, 3 or 4 well-timed pick and rolls, I don't know, 2 or 3 backdoor alley you dunk. It is inexcusable for a superstar to have fewer than 10 shots.
It's
ridiculous.
Even if it's ill-advised, just throw it up to him. I'm serious.
You might get a foul,
and
he's a good free throw shooter. Inbounds, and that'll change for game 2.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teak, the Knicks, as we know, we discussed this last week, looking for a new head coach. What else is new? After they fired Jeff Hornacek, not really his fault. And reports say the team is looking at former head coach Mike Woodson, don't do it, as well as former Cavs head coach David Blatt. No thanks, I'll pass. Woodson compiled a 109-79 record with the Knicks from 2011 through 2014. Blatt has spent the past 2 years in Turkey, and star forward KP, Kristaps Porzingis, says he trusts the team is going to make the right call.
I'm sure that the front office, they will make the right decisions and to build something that, you know, that can go a long way, you know, and I think that they will make the right decisions, so we have to trust them.
okay.
I don't know if you have to trust them.
Work in trusting them for the last 20 years. But so in or out here, KP, what he just said, Blatt is the right fit
out
for
of bounds.
The Knicks.
I already know it's out of bounds for you. I'll let you take over after I say out of bounds. No, Blatt is not the right fit for the Knicks, even though he is good at teaching young kids.
Sure.
Put that, you know, quote kids. But I like Fizdale better. I'd even take Jerry Stackhouse before I'd go with David Blatt. And then the long shot, who actually had some success with the Knicks, is Jeff Van Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely out of bounds. There's too many other options that are better than David Blatt.
I don't want him. I mean, listen, what worries me is his relationship, his familiarity, and probably more so Steve Mills' familiarity with him. There's a comfort zone. They played together at Princeton. Obviously, Princeton speaks for itself. Both incredibly brilliant men. Doesn't mean he's the right man to run the Knicks. I'll tell you this. I had a pretty lengthy exchange over the weekend with one of Fizdale's best friends, wants the job. Now, he's in the mix for almost every job.
Yep.
Fizdale unabashedly wants this job. Was told that direct. I mean, he wants it with every ounce of passion in his body. Doc Rivers ain't coming. I wouldn't bring back Van Gundy, although I like Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I would be okay, and I'll put quotes around the word settled with Mark Jackson, but I am very worried about what went down in Golden State. Fizdale, to me, is the answer. I think he's the best. I don't know if he's going to get the job. Yeah. I know he wants it, and I believe he should. So, Blatt, out of bounds. Don't want David Blatt, all due respect.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T, how about this one? The Yanks and the Marlins start a two-game series tonight, weather permitting, although it looks like it's drying up out there in the Bronx. So, hopefully, we'll get a little baseball in, which would be nice. And a little homecoming for Marlins CEO Derek Jeter, number two, Jeter. Not so fast. Jeets isn't showing up. He's not going to be in the Big Apple here. He won't go to the game. Quote, I went to a spring training game when we played in New York, but it would be awkward for me to actually go to Yankee Stadium. That's the quote from the captain. That's an odd quote.
What?
That's what he said. I'm just reading what he said.
All
right. In or out, Jeter should be in attendance at Yankee Stadium.
Of course he should be in attendance at Yankee Stadium. I mean, he's moved on. It's not like the Yankees are pining for Derek Jeter. They need him. I mean, I understand it's awkward for him, but I don't think it would be awkward for Yankees fans. I think it would be – he'd get a rousing ovation, even if he is, you know, ownering – I was going to say skip it. But
they gave a Stanton, so just right off the bat he's going to get a standing O, even though Stanton's been pretty dormant.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course he should be there.
Inbounds. You know what's funny? My answer is absolutely out of bounds.
Why?
Because I don't think it serves any purpose to be there.
He's the owner of the team.
Okay. I mean, is he going to go to Cincinnati when the Marlins play the Reds?
Maybe.
Well, if the answer is yes, and he needs to go to every single stadium to do his due diligence and do his job properly to rebuild the Marlins, my answer is inbounds.
He's got
to
get a feel of all the other
I know the answer is out of bounds. You don't construct a roster from the press box by saying, hey, I'm back. He's not a glory hound. That's one of the good things about Jeter.
Maybe the Marlins need that. Maybe they need some.
Maybe. I mean,
I'm serious. Maybe they need someone that's out front. Like, hey, look at us. We're going to be good. This is what our plan is. Right?
Here's the thing that Yankee fans. I hear you, but here's the thing that Yankee fans really need to understand about Jeter, and they're starting to. He doesn't need our adulation.
No, he doesn't care.
He's wired in a robotic sense. I don't want to use the word disconnect, but. He almost has a disconnect to his Yankee career. He is in phase two. He's a forward thinker.
Yeah.
So he's not sitting there watching YouTube highlights of himself when the ball goes over Jeffrey Mayer's, you know, when Jeffrey Mayer reaches over in right field against the Orioles in 96. He's lived that.
Yeah.
He's looking forward.
Yeah, he's not posting on Instagram that great play where he, you know, picks it up and flips it backwards. Hey, look at me. Can I get a million likes?
Nor would he even like it. Forget about posting it himself. He wouldn't even repurpose the tweet.
I hear you.
He is here to make the Marlins a more functional, more competitive team, and I don't think he needs to be in the Bronx to do that.
Yeah.
My answer is out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
By the way, that's a pet peeve of mine on Instagram. All these guys posting their former glories.
Yeah, I know.
Like, come on.
I even do it for a lot of occasions. Not this many.
Yeah, but like from high school or college, you do.
Because that's all I have. I guess when you have, I hear you. So how about this? Bartolo Colon, he's 44 years of age. He's now with the Rangers. Toe-to-toe yesterday with Astros ace Justin Verlander. This was incredible. Perfect game before a walk and a double ended the perfecto and a no-hitter in the eighth. In or out real quick, Tiki. Bartolo Colon will make at least 25 starts this
season.
Why
not? I'm going to say inbounds for Bartolo. Go ahead, Bartolo. Do your thing, boy. I ain't mad at you.
That moving fastball, I mean, it's a thing of beauty. The answer is inbounds. I'm with you. He's 44, I believe now, 44, yeah. 45. Since the age of 40, he's made 31, 33, 34. Last year, 28 starts. The only reason I think he didn't make 30 is because he was traded. He split time with the Twins and the Braves, yep. And I think he missed a start or two. Listen, the guy's durable and the guy's effective, yep. In bounds.
89. Right on the corner.
He's such he's
every
a mess,
time.
Though. Just look at him.
Oh, dude.
He just
sloppy.
Looks like a mess.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I remember.
Still getting paid, though.
Oh, he's still getting paid. I remember. I'd have to double check this out of my own curiosity. I guess I will. I'll give it to you after the break here. I'm getting into Popovich. You don't want to miss this. I'm tired of Greg Popovich. I am tired of his act. I think Cologne threw 31 straight strikes when he was with the A's.
What?
Like, strike. He'd do that until 28, 29, wow. Strike, 30, strike. Popovich, don't miss this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.